you happy this morning?
I'm kind of sad
because it's the last day.
I'm not sad in that respect, that
I have nothing to be happy about.
It's just as those 4 days has gone fast, very fast.
But I enjoyed them, and I pray you have also.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, you've been standing a long time, so you can sit down. Just don't fall asleep.
You may take a short nap, like 10 seconds, and then be back again, right?
If you're going to close your eyes, do like if you're driving a car. You know you can't close it very long, or else you'll be out on the road.
My heart is filled with so much. I always have to ask the Lord to guide my lips, because we are using very valuable time, and we want the best, right? We only have the best left. If you use the best all the time, you only have the best left. So that's a good way to look at things. So happy to be here. And I'm so happy to be nothing. Because if I try to be somebody, then I'll be nervous and try to perform something. But if I know I'm nothing, then I can relax. Just keep on what I always done. Love the Lord and tell about Jesus. Hallelujah. And I guess you have understood the message now that we've been on. We have looked into a certain topic about Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. And I got a few comments on some messages brought to me in written form that just tells me it is needful to go into a subject like that, even if it has been handled many times by many, many people. Sometimes it looks like people don't grasp the entire meaning. We can chop things up in sections, and then a little section can be the main topic, and you lose the grip of the whole thing. Like the seventh angel, he works for the entire Laodicean church age. He doesn't only work for 30 years. He worked for, and he anoints all the time. And he's still on the scene anointing people. In the prophecy, it was mentioned Brother Jackson. You have Brother Branham. And then you have what I will call a nameless ministry. because we call it the fivefold ministry. The word fivefold doesn't really stand there in the scriptures, but there is five different callings: apostle, prophet, evangelist, teachers, pastors, and they are all in plural form. There's not only one apostle. There are more, because the earth covers 7 billion people, and one man cannot do the whole job. Therefore, God anoints and calls people to the ministry, and there are apostles that you may have never seen in your life. Maybe you haven't even heard their names. And you say, are they apostles? Well, God knows. Leave it to Him. Don't travel around the world to try to find out who's an apostle. Because back in around 2000, people were traveling. There were some traveling around the world trying to find the seven thunders. because they felt they had the names of them now. And some of them are already dead that had names. So you see, we can create stories and so-called facts in our mind, and they're not really facts. They are imaginations. So let John Lennon sing Imagine. Yeah? Right? Right? You can say or sing, can you imagine? Can you dream? Can you imagine what it would be like to see him? When your feet leaves the ground and you know you're heaven bound, won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful to see the King? Praise the Lord. So I guess I did sing one song in the convention. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we can imagine. But I think it's going to be a lot greater than what we ever can imagine, because we still have our frail mind. I don't want to keep you here with just talk, but let's go into the Bible again. You don't need to look up Revelation 10:7, but you can have it in your mind, because that's the basic topic. And today, we're going to look into a certain portion of a mystery. Remember, yesterday, we had a little different mystery, the mystery Babylon. And of course, there's a lot of things blended into it, and you could stretch it to a long sermon about Babylon. Because it follows, it's a trail that goes parallel with God's people all the way. The tares are with the wheat until the angels pluck them out. You know, we have a tendency to pluck them out. And make sure, no. Are you an angel? We found out there's a difference between angels and man. And a man will never become an angel. And remember, the Lord promised you will have a higher rank than the angels when time comes. But for now, leave the angels as your guiding source, because they are the instruments from the throne of God to help you out, to minister to you, so you can be the heir of salvation. And the master high priest, Jesus Christ, he is ordering his instruments, the angels, to govern every soul that is in need of him. So you call out to him, then he'll be there. Hallelujah. You don't see the spirit world. You can sense it. But your eyes, your mortal eyes, normally don't see it. But if the Lord opened your eyes, it would be like when Elijah one day was standing on a little hilltop and he saw enemies surrounding him. There was no way of escape. And he had a servant with him. And that servant said, "My, we're doomed. What can we do here? My, this is awful." And the prophet only said, "Lord, open his mind, open his eyes." And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant. And he saw angels camped around them. It was a barrier between them and the enemy. So the enemy said, "Oh, and this is my..." explanation. Aha! That's why you are so calm.
Hey,
if you saw who was protecting you at all times, you wouldn't be so nervous, right? So that's your scripture also. But we have another one, the mystery of godliness. And we take it from 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a beautiful little setting. Maybe not read that much. You might read Timothy and skim through a verse and don't give it much thought. But when I started looking into this little verse, it really contains a great story. So I will read it with you here, and you can all sit down. Keep sitting, I mean. All right? I will read from verse 14 through 16. Three verses. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And I tell you, you are a mystery. Right? You think there is godliness in you? Born again? Baptized in Jesus' name? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Set aside to serve the Lord? My, what an instrument God have. One, what is the mystery of godliness? How did Paul explain it? He said, God was manifested in flesh. That was one side of it. God manifested in flesh. Remember, a lot of people have tried to make God flesh. So that when they see flesh, they see God. And remember when they saw Jesus, some people thought they saw God. It is a difference between seeing God and seeing God in a person. I hope you catch that. Right? Because the person is not God, but he can be motivated, inspired, and directed by God. And when he says, I say, saith the Lord, he is not God, but God is using the instrument so that it looks like or sounds like God is speaking. All right, he is speaking, but he's using an instrument. All right, secondarily, justified in the Spirit. Justified? Have you tried to justify yourself? And Jesus said, if I justify myself, the truth is not there. There must be someone else justifying. You see, when the great judge says, you're free, then he has justified you. Made things, sets the things straight. Justified in spirit. Seen by angels. Preached among Gentiles. Hey, this was the secret that Paul caught. Soon after he had had the experience on the road to Damascus, he took the books with him. He had to run out of the city because they were going to kill him. And he spent about 2 to 3 years, more than 2 years, out in the wilderness, Of course, he found a place, maybe a little town, a little quarter where he could be for himself. And he studied and prayed and sought the Lord to get the record straight. And he got a commission from the Lord. Right? You heard about Daniel, the sixfold purposes. To understand the 70th week of Daniel, or the 70 weeks of Daniel, all of them. All right? Then, the fifth one, third seen by angels, right? The fourth, preached among Gentiles, right? Hey, he needed a revelation for that, because he was a pretty hard-hearted Jew at first, and he didn't want to talk to any Gentile. But the Lord changed him. Believed on in the world. That was the fifth one. And the sixth, received up in glory. So, when he says, great is the mystery of godliness. And he divided in sections to show what he meant with what he said. And you and I, in a way, we have the same message. We are going to declare the same substance, the same word, the same revelation. We're going to be people with the same type of godliness in us. And we are going to cover all those sections. And you say, how are we going to do that? How am I going to study to be able to see these things? Remember, it isn't difficult, it isn't hard. It is really to live by inspiration. Right? You pray every day, don't you? You read your Bible. You seek God. And when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Put in front of me the ability to see your hand at work so that I can fulfill your plan. And of course, every day is not alike. They're different. Yeah. One day you wake up in the Philippines. Other times in Norway or Africa or wherever it may be. And the Lord is changing you or making you, adjusting you to suit a certain purpose that he have. He is the same, but we have to focus differently according to the calling and the job that is set before us. All right. So when the Lord in this way uses through Paul an expression, right? We were talking about how that God, through angelic personalities, are inspiring people so that they will sound. Remember, we are all sounding the way the angel of the Lord wants us to sound. I have told a few times that back in 1975, when I met Brother Jackson the first time, I met him in 73 first time, and I got baptized. He baptized me in water in one of the lakes in Norway, because he came there to preach the word. And to me, that man made sense. He took the Bible, opened it up, and I could see a flow of information that struck my heart. And I knew, this is how I want to sound. not like Brother Jackson's toning voice, but revelation. That revelation, Lord, that's what I need. Help me to see this. So the word will speak to me. And one of the sure advices that Brother Jackson gave back in those days, and that was the summer of 75. Brother Stroman, don't you ever preach me. If you do that, you're done. It's over. He couldn't stand people preaching him. We got a mission. And we are not the mission. Right? Me. No. We have a mission to declare a revelation that can easily be understood by opening up your Bible. You really only need one book. You can have a lot of books. You can read stories, biographies, and enjoy. And some of them are real good. Other biographies might just look more and more at a person's name and personality. Oh, how great a man it was. Remember, it's not important to find out how great Paul was. But what did he say? That can change us and make us more like Jesus. Yeah. Not more like any other man. So here, to go back, when he said that, I was also with another brother, and he had severe problems because Brother Branham had been dead for some years now, 10 years, and he could not anymore see a scriptural balanced record that this is really the Elijah ministry for the hour. That brought me on my knees, not because he said it, because I had already figured out through scripture that there had to come an Elijah. And Brother Jackson, back in 1952, he, many years before that, he was sitting reading his Bible. And when he was reading Malachi, he was so puzzled by it. And he said, to me, it looks like when I read Malachi that there must be an Elijah anointing coming over the body of Christ before the coming of the Lord, to announce the coming of the Lord. And he didn't know that there was one. He just read and started thinking and praying. The Lord was preparing an instrument to look in the right direction. And little did he know that just a few miles away from where he lived, about 45 minutes away, there was William Branham living in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And he was living, and Brother Jackson was living on a farm, about 45 minutes ride down to Jeffersonville from there. And then there was one brother. He was Glenn Funk. And he came to Brother Jackson because he was a cousin to his wife, Opal, and said, I have seen the most remarkable man and ministry, and I'm hooked. I'm down there. And he was a deacon in Brother Branham's church for a certain while. And he brought Brother Jackson and his wife down to this church. And Brother Jackson was sitting there listening. And when this little man that he called him, he was not a tall, big man, short man, maybe a Filipino size. Hey, you got some big guys too. But average size is smaller, right? So here, this man is coming out and he starts to relate the scriptures. And while he related and preached, it started sinking into Brother Jackson's mind. My, this is Malachi 4. It would not surprise me that here is the tool. And from 1952 till Brother Branham passed away in 1965, Brother Jackson was watching that man all his life, seeing what he did, what he preached, the image he had, the humbleness. And by the end of 65, Brother Jackson was one of them who was ministering in the funeral after Brother Branham passed away. And he said, that man fit exactly Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6b. That was his testimony. And here come this Norwegian brother, and he says, it cannot be. 10 years after. Remember, now it is almost 50 years after. And if people start to get confused after 10 years, they must be fully confused after 50 years. Right? So they need their confirmation. There's a lot of people looking for answers and clues. And they get them. But remember, if you don't want to walk with the Lord, He will turn you over to a different mind and let you believe whatever you want. Right? You won't believe Him anyway. So therefore, that's why Romans chapter 1 says, because they did not honor the Creator, but He started honoring His creation. He left, turned them over to a reprobate mind so they wouldn't be able to distinguish what was real right and real wrong. Yeah. So that's something for us to remember. And remember, you see, there's a lot of young people here. And you might say to yourself, well, I'm nothing. I just started. I don't know much at all. But I can tell you, you will soak in from the very first moment you set your feet in spiritual dimensions. And you will start drawing in, and you will be influenced. Make sure what you let yourself be influenced with. It's going to be tough, because there's something that you will say, if I go that direction, that's going to be dangerous. That will not lead scripturally. But since you have friends, and some friends may be very persistent, and you don't like to be unfriendly, you invite yourself into many different thoughts. Right? Here I was in a service with a man who had seen Brother Branham from 52 to 65. And I was in the same room with a man who had seen Brother Branham for 3 years. They all saw the same man, and they came out with a different conclusion. First, the man thought, this is the Malachiah. But after 10 years after his passing away, he couldn't be the Elijah's ministry anymore. So he changed his mind. Hey, I still love the brother, and I don't dethrone him from Christian walk. It's just I can't walk with it. I cannot mingle with the thought and say both are right. You have to take a certain stand for what you believe in. Because after I heard the brother, I went on my knees and I said, Lord, help me to see the continuation that will bring me to a solid understanding that I don't ever need to change, because it's You. And then I found out about the three stages of the Elijah ministry. And I don't need to repeat that. I preached that here and up in Lagave, 2005. And of course, being accused for a lot of things. But I really don't worry about that. Just make sure that you know what you understand. And hey, if you're wrong and you stand for it, Just believe God to help you out. That's the only thing I can say. And when Brother Jackson came close to the time that the Lord was going to bring him home, some people started a big issue about me, Brother Stroman. And my name has come up several places, and some don't like me at all. They write books about me, and they try to mar my ministry. Well, that's their privilege. I just have to work harder at it. Not to accuse or go against them. Just live it. Live the gospel that brought you to Jesus the first time. And keep living. Yeah. And make sure that what you got is really scripture. Yeah. And I was accused because I couldn't put a name on the third person that I read about in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 and 16. Well, they didn't give a name on that young man. And I was accused that, you're trying to make an anonymous person. But that was the wisdom of God. Because the fivefold ministry, of course people in the fivefold ministry have names, but it is not important to focus on names of people. The importance is, does God have a ministry? Right? When people come up and say, I am an apostle, or I am a prophet, or this, hey, when I hear that, it's an alarm clock starting ticking inside here. Because when people pronounce themselves, I say, I wonder if they really are. Because an apostle or a prophet or whatever down the ranks of the fivefold, they don't need to advertise themselves. That's the first sign that you should be alert. When people advertise their position. Because for some people, you will always be nothing. Doesn't matter what you call yourself. Huh? Oh, that's what you think. Right? So leave that alone. But live it. If the Lord put a calling and he called you to this or that, then live it. And don't tell them. Just let them figure it out for themselves. Because everyone needs to stick their nose down in the Bible once in a while. And maybe they come up with Ephesians 4:11. And they say, oh, the Bible really says something about that. Yeah. And then don't go on a hunting to try to find them. Just live. Like Brother Jackson did, he sits in his little sofa home reading the Bible, and then pops this thought in. And Elijah before the coming of the Lord. And he didn't take his car, travel around crisscrossing America, the continent, to try to find a man. No, he just lived. Was still a wonderful believer. And then one day someone come knocking on the door and say, I have seen something remarkable. Would you like to go with me? And here while he's sitting there, he hears a man that does not announce himself as the prophet or anything. He's just preaching the word of God. And the two spirits. I mean, you have a spirit, right? It's the same spirit. Hey, remember, your spirit is a gift from God. Right? Your problem is your personality. Right? Not the spirit. And you, that spirit's going to live way beyond the days of your mortal life. That spirit is going to come for God's judgment. And if you're a believer, of course you will never be condemned. But he will take away from you everything that you did selfishly. Every work that was hay, stubble, and straw, my, that will fade away. You won't get paid for that. Hey, remember, if you work in a big factory or wherever, and your master tells you, you stay there, you work at that place. If you start walking around in the factory or all other places, you won't be paid. Right? You're paid for what you're supposed to do. So stay where you're told to stay. And then you're okay. And in the spirit, it's the same way. Whatever the Lord inspires into your spiritual ear, that is your assignment. That's your work. That's where you're supposed to be. And then the Lord will bless you. He'll speak to you and He will confirm it with signs and wonders. Whatever He told you to do. Because He will back up His own word. His own inspiration. But He will not back up all ideas you have about Him. And you try to make God. God, I command you to, right? That's plain silly. You cannot command God. You just do what He says. So that's the important part. All right. So when we read about how that God opens up our understanding, our spiritual eye, and we start to understand the mysteries. Some places the Bible talk about the hard sayings. It's not because they're hard. They're just a little hard to understand. And I believe many times you come up in life and you say, why did that happen to me? And why do I read it like this in the Bible? How can I understand it better? And then the Lord will come. And in time, He will form you. You're a piece of clay. Right? Always stay wet. Dry clay cannot be handled. Right? But wet clay, that's soft, and it can be molded and remolded and done over and over and over. And you will be wet till you die. That's when you stiffen up. Not physically. Of course you do that also. But then your work is done. And then it will show if you will be an item for the honor of God. And judgment will show it. All right. Let me keep going on because I have a message here. But it blends in with natural things that happens in life. So when it says here that He was manifested in the flesh. And when I saw this, that means God is manifesting and showing the people around Him how that He is really the called and the blessed one. I read in John chapter 1 verse 14. Jesus Christ was manifested in flesh. Right? We have the sayings from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And of course, out of Jesus' mouth came the Word. Of course it did. But the first part of John chapter 1 is not really pertaining to Jesus Christ and His ministry. It is first in verse 14 that Jesus pops up. When John is explaining and putting out the things that he have seen, and he says there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, John was really the first one in Jesus' adult life that saw the anointing over him and in him. Before that, when Jesus was a little child, there were
Anna in the temple. There was Simon in the temple. It was Mary, Jesus' mother, got a message from an angel of the Lord. And it was Joseph, who was the protector, the surrogate father, together with surrogate mother. They all had dreams and visions so that they could see who it was. And Jesus Christ did not have any special anointing upon him when he grew up as a little child, but he was without sin because the law of mortality had not worked on him, because he stayed fully obedient to the calling that was upon him. And the calling was to, the first part of the calling was to wait till you're 30, right? That's why I sometimes, when I read in the book of Acts, and I read about Paul, how that he, the first 3 years of his life as a Christian, was really to study, to improve himself. But everywhere he came, he ended up having problems. Because when he spoke, the Jews got furious, wanted to get rid of him. So Peter advised him to go home to Tarsus. And he stayed for years in Tarsus, not moving at all, until Barnabas came. When you read Acts chapter 13, here it was Barnabas comes and bring him to Antioch. And now Paul starts to minister among the people there. Praise the Lord. So when I see that, if it is so important to hurry to do something for God, why does God take vessels and make them study and improve for months and years? And it doesn't seem like they do nothing. Because when you go out there, you need to have a balance inside you. Remember, if you go out there, newborn Christian, just on fire for the Lord, I'm going to show the world, the agnostics, the disbeliever, the unbeliever, whatever, we're going to show them. And I tell you, after you've been trying to show them for a week or a month, you're going to be so exhausted, you're going to fall on your in your bed, wet out your pillow, because, Lord, this don't work. You know why? Because it is your work. He didn't call you to do your work. He called you to do His work. He inspires you. Put you on fire for Him. And then you're not trying to be... you see, some people, they love to debate. They love to discuss. They don't soak in. They just want to show that they know something. And you cannot come to the devil with mentality. Just with your mental mind. Filled with words in your head. You need to be burning inside. And when the Lord said, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because if they drag you before the magistrates, My Spirit will be upon you. And I will give you instantly what you need to say. But of course, that doesn't mean don't read your Bible, because you're only going to be inspired anyway. No, you read the Bible, you read, you study, you improve yourself the best way you know to. Don't be slack. But when the challenge comes, it is not your head knowledge in the Bible that's going to do it. It's the inspiration from above that's going to surprise and astonish the accuser. And they'll say, how come that they know this? Right? And Jesus did not use Moses and the five books of Moses. He said, the man you have now is not your husband. Right? You can't read that. Oh yeah, you can in the New Testament. But when Jesus had the challenge, Right? He couldn't read that back in the Old Testament. He read that out all the inspiration he got from God Almighty. And when he said, okay, yeah, because you have had five, and then no, you, one you have now is not yours. Okay. That tells there's no way that you can read stories to find out that. You couldn't, when Solomon was sitting there on his throne, and the two women were fighting tooth and nail to claim that son, do you think that Solomon was reading books up and down to try to find what I'm going to say here? No. Suddenly, an instruction from above hit him. Wisdom from God. Take an axe or a sword and cut the baby in two. Give them a piece each. And of course, the whole gang got shocked and stunned by such a word. But it brought forth the real mother. And it showed who didn't care. And before the sword hit the body, Solomon said, stop. That's the mother. Give the child to her. And then everybody, my Lord, what wisdom. 2 minutes before, it was, what? That man's crazy. Right? So it just takes seconds. But that's the split of second that the Holy Spirit have the advantage in. In time, he'll give you the answer that you need to tell. That's wonderful. All right. John here was looking for the Messiah. Remember, he had a message. And he said, the one who comes and the Spirit comes upon in the shape of a dove, him it is. But he couldn't run around Israel to try to find out. No, he was doing his job, and here comes a man down, and he says, let me be baptized. And he sends the Spirit of the Lord, and says, I need to be baptized by you, sir. But Jesus said, no, do it according to what is shown you to complete all righteousness. And when John baptized him, then the sign came upon him. And even when he was in prison, and he sent some messengers to ask, is this really the Messiah? Jesus only said, go back, tell him what's happening. Because he already know. Now he'll just have a confirmation that what he started out, what Jesus started out, is really the calling that John saw in the first place. And John gave the witness. John witnessed of him. What did he witness? That he got manifested in the flesh. Right? God got manifested in the flesh of Jesus Christ. But remember, don't jump to the conclusion God became Jesus Christ. Right? Manifested? Hey, if the Lord started showing me about you, and I start to tell you what nobody else knows, then you know God is manifested in me. He said, Brother Stroman, you're not Jesus. No, I'm just his friend. Jesus went home and he said, you shall do likewise, even greater things. Right? We can all be manifested. But then we need to do the job we're called to do. God doesn't manifest just anything that cooks up in your mind. It has to do with inspiration. And John, he testified immediately told his disciples, behold, when you read John chapter 1 verse 29 around there, and he said, I have seen him. John was there. James was there. Peter was in the vicinity. Philip was close by. Nathanael wasn't too far away. They were all watching for this messenger and the words that John the Baptist said, because there's something special about him. And he has announced the Messiah. And then suddenly one day when they came down to visit him again, they said, yeah, I've seen him. I said, where is he? I really don't know. He took off. He went out in the wilderness somewhere. I haven't seen him in many days, even weeks now. He was away for many weeks, you know, 40 days. That's a long time, 1.5 months. But when he came back, the disciples were still there and said, yeah, behold, there he is. That's the Lamb of God that I was announced to introduce. And the disciples said to John, bye-bye, John. Thank you for showing us the Messiah. They took off and they followed him. So John became a true witness of the Lord. Oh yes, he did. Praise the Lord. Manifested in the flesh. And you and I are the ones that's going to see who is manifested. We're not going to look for Jesus. But we're going to look for Jesus in us. Yeah. Very important. Then, if you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 40 to 41. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them. And demons came out of many, crying and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. So John the Baptist announced him rightly and honestly, but even the devils verified and announced him. Hey, if the people were listening to what the devils said, thou art the Christ. There were a lot of doubters around Jesus Christ. But even when the devils, the demons that were possessing people, started proclaiming him, that should wake them up a little, right? That's part of what Paul was instructing in Timothy chapter 3, 16. Right? And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, here, he said to them, his disciples, but you, who do you say I am? Now they have been with him for a certain time. And he was checking on their revelation. Have you been asked a few times in your life, do you really believe this? Is this the truth? You could do like the Norwegian fellow. Oh, this is it! But after 10 years, I'm not so sure anymore. Right? Think about it. You might be 18, 20 years old now, full of energy, vigor, ready to work for the Lord. Soon you'll be 28. And time has just flown. And you're asked the same question. I guess I believe. Right? To be on fire for the Lord means you have to keep the fire burning and living and add to it. Hey, if you have a wood furnace, you stop putting wood in, what happens?
fire burns out. The oven gets cold. It's hard to start over again, right? But if you have a flame there and you keep adding, then it's always burning. And your soul needs the infeeding, the filling of spiritual information to keep you updated. I was glad I met the Lord because it made me a happy Christian. And now it's more than 40 years ago, and I don't say I'm not so sure anymore if I am happy. No, I'm still happy. I just pray and hope it shows that the Lord has done His job in my life. I cannot go around to you and say, I am happy, right? And you show just differently. Just stay happy. All right. So Peter, he was the quick one to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here you have John the Baptist, verifying, manifesting the Spirit in Jesus. You have the devils, they manifest it. And you have his disciples. It's dawning on them that they're walking with a character. They're amazed every time. They see miracles, signs, and wonders. Peter, James, and John, they see physically that people are woke up from the dead. When they went just before he was killed and walked into Bethany, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth! 4 days dead. And here he comes floating out. My. I wonder how many times Peter, James, and John said, this is the Messiah. Eh? We were just looking at the Ten Commandments here. And I remember statements from people in other versions of Ten Commandments, because they saw miracles many times. And 10 times God demonstrated his supernatural power in Egypt. And I'm sure that the Israelites that watched what was going on, when they saw the first miracle, well, if they were there when Pharaoh saw the reptile, his rod turning into a reptile, I wonder if the people, oh my, that is God. But the Egyptians said, that's magic. Yeah. And Moses was not astonished at God that he let them make reptiles too. He just stood there. Because that was what the Lord told him to do. And he didn't say, Lord, why do you do this? Why do you allow them? Hey, God allows people to copy. He's done that many, many times in life. Because he wants to sharpen your mind and your heart. Who do you really believe in? What do you believe? What kind of a standard do we have? Remember, you can listen to a lot of voices and be confused. But if you learn to turn in on channel 7 and stay there, right? Sometimes the music on radio is boring, distorting, right? It's banging your ears and you shift channels, right? But remember, the channel of God, whom he have created for you, and that's the instrument is used to get to you. Stay always tuned in. And when you see Jannes and Jambres, when you see Korah and Dathan, and them guys trying to prove to you, if you don't hear a resonance from channel 7, don't worry about it. Let them talk. Let them argue. Let them fuss. Let them call you all things. Because when he talks, you'll know. And after the first miracle, they said, yeah, this is God. But then Pharaoh said, make straw or make brick without straw. And then they said, can't be God after all. Because no, we have more problem than ever. Right? So, you see, there is a parallel. When God starts blessing you, the devil starts coming with a counterfeit to put pressure on you. And God allows it to make you strong. So that you will learn only to listen through all the noises, all the music, everything that you hear around you that try to penetrate in and keep you in a different comfort zone. But I can tell you, when He speaks, you will hear the sound and you will know what is the right sound. And the Lord tested them 10 times before they started going out of Egypt. And I believe every time the people said, from no one I'm going to believe. From no one I'm going to believe. But there was an 11th time. And they still didn't believe. And finally the Lord said, I have given you so many miracles, it should have turned you to a saint a long time ago. And now, since you are going up against me at all times, I'll let you walk and wander in the wilderness until you die off. Not because they were devils. He would sure bring them home, but he couldn't use them. Right? So make sure that we're not useless, but that we can be useful in the kingdom. Stay honest, humble, steady course, and only listen to the voice that you know you have verified in your heart. I say, if God fills you with His Holy Spirit, then you shouldn't have an excuse to go wrong. Because the Holy Spirit will teach you to wait, to make the right suggestion, the right decision, so that you don't need to come home and say, I'm sorry. You know, if your wife hears you sorry so many times, she stops believing in you. And say, you come home with your sorries. You can be out there with your sorries. I don't need this. What I want to hear, truthfully, trustfully, honest, that builds a relationship. And remember, God builds a relationship with you and me. Hey, and He is always faithful. But if we cheat, of course we can fall on our knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh yeah, He'll hear you. And He'll know how sorry you are. Because He sees the heart. If it is a cover up for the next action that you really want to do. Right? He knows all of it. And think about Moses being an honest, humble man. There was no man as humble as him on the face of the earth at that time. And Psalm 106, I think it is. The psalmist says, it went Moses ill for their sakes. What? That was at Marah? When the people was up against God? They were so thirsty, God had put them to the test again. And they were ready to kill Moses and get rid of all spiritual instruction. Then Moses got mad. And he took the rod and he went up to the hillside and he hit the hill, the mountain, the rock 2 times to show them God had spoken to him to give them water. But he didn't tell him to use the stick. He said, speak to the mountain. And only one mistake like that, and the Lord said, you are not entering into the promised land. What? Here I have a bunch of people done so much wrong, and I only kicked the mountain with my rod. He said, Lord, you can't do that. I need to get over there. No, you not. Doesn't mean that he went to hell. He just didn't go into the promised land, the physical Israel, because he got mad. So you see, manifestation. Moses did not exemplify the Spirit of God by hitting the rock twice. And since he had so much responsibility and there was such an anointing on him, he could not do one mistake and God would take it away from him. That should tell us something, that think we are someone, right? I am brother this and I am sister that. Don't come here. You see? It won't be very long till that comes up, that index finger from heaven. You won't see it. You say, don't do that. Or I'll take your position away. I'll put in someone that will do the job. Don't get an attitude. Right? Well, how far have I come here? I really don't worry too much. But I'm so thankful. But I hope that you see that with all these six little notes from 1 through 6, God vindicates through the scriptures what the mission Paul had and what he was to illustrate and exemplify so that people would catch it. All right? And in Matthew 26, verse 62. All right? It's the last service I have here. And the high priest, they arose and said to him, you answer nothing? He is now in court just before he's going to be killed. And the priest, they try to find a word to kill him. That in itself just tells they're not going to release him. They're just seeking for a word so that they can take him out. You know something? When people talk to me, I don't say a whole lot. But sometimes I sense. And I'm not talking to you now. I'm talking average, right? Yeah. They're out to find fault. They're not interested in your life, your ministry. They're only interested to find something they can hang their coat on. Got you. I got something that I can blame him for, right? Hey, I'm not a perfect man. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But I don't go around messing around and trying to, I'll say, trying to be a bad display to hurt your Christian experience. Right? I feel I have a responsibility. When I build friendship with people, I don't want them to hear all kinds of stories about me because I'm careless. My standards are down. I can do whatever that pleases me. That will not build friendship. And remember, Jesus was perfect.
And they tried to find him to say one word so they could kill him, right? And he was the perfect Christ. What about you and me? We are sinners saved by grace. And people are out to try to find something so they can say, ha! Worth nothing. I know something about him. Really, they don't. But they're creating. One brother told me some years back, Brother Stroman, you don't know what they say about you. And it's better you don't know it. Because what they're saying, they're speaking loud in their church. And they're saying blah, 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 this and blah, blah, that. I said, I don't need to hear it. Don't even tell me what they're saying. Leave it. I'm not curious about that. No. What I want to hear, that someone get healed. Spiritually, mentally, physically. And that we can talk well about each other. Well, I know the Bible says, be aware if they talk well about you. Right? I know that part of the scripture. But I would say, if my close brothers and sisters are acting like crazy because they're trying to find fault, I'm not going to praise everything for that. I'll be worried about that. Yeah. Remember Jesus? He was sitting at the table. He took a piece of bread and he said, one of you are going to betray me. And then, oh, that was 12 eyes started staring. What? And he says, the one I dip my bread in the wine with. And there happened to sit Judas Iscariot. And at the same time, the Spirit led him to dip his bread in the wine at the same time. Not knowing, he blew it. He had the plan. He had a scam going. Already had 30 silver pennies. Coins, and nobody should know. Hey, Judas should have known. He'd been too long with Jesus to understand that he could get by with things. So there, he took the piece of bread, left the table, and went to the high priest. Hey, it was not a joyful time for Jesus. But when he met him again, he said, friend, why are you here? Hey, Judas could have fell on his knees and said, Lord, forgive. But he kissed him. Because that was the act of betrayal. So that he couldn't change. Went and hung himself. All right. But this last little word here. And the high priest answered and said, because Jesus didn't say a thing. He accused him, couldn't get a word out of him. And then he finally says, I put you under oath by the living God. My. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. You get a question? Say yes or no. Right? You can't explain a thing. Yes or no? Yeah. Think about that. Next time you're in court and you have a slick lawyer and he builds up a case and he tells a story and the only thing you can say is yes or no. Right? You don't have a chance to say and bring your case in because they have locked you in a trap. Jesus knew. He understood the trap. But you know, this is the time. This is the hour of the devil. What did he say? It is as you say.
It's almost like you say when you get married, I do. Right? You didn't say yes, you said I do. All right. But he also said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. My Lord. If yes had made them mad, this last statement made them furious. He put some more wood on the fire so they could have and justify their case. And they condemned him to death. My Lord. The Spirit of God witness in him. Right? Remember Jesus said in John, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. But when he opens his mouth under the inspiration, right? It's a difference there. You can tell about yourself, but then you can speak out of the calling upon your life. And that one is true. Right? I hope you understand that part. Yeah. Because when Jesus spoke and he said, yes, I am. Then he didn't speak out of his natural terminology, but out of the office that he had in Christ, in the Spirit. The Father had given me, because he said, to me it is given authority over heaven and earth. Right? And it was the Spirit that he was called to be the begotten Son of God. And one day, he's going to come and claim it. Hallelujah. All right. So what I told you, God was manifested in flesh. And you know, here, God was manifest in flesh again. Right before accusers. And it didn't help that he was speaking out of the Spirit of God. When they heard that, they accused him even harder. And they said, he is worthy of death. But he was manifested in the flesh. Right? Then he was justified in the Spirit. He was seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. I don't think I'm going to take part 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I used too long time on part 1. But we're in the Philippines. Hallelujah. And whatever the Lord has for us, wherever we go, we will open and tell it like it is. And I'm real privileged to be able to stand in your midst. The Lord has blessed this fellowship many times over many years. And remember, you all make part of it. Even if you don't live here, right, in Angeles, you are part of it. And you're not just part of Angeles Church, you're part of the body of Christ. Right? And that is the part that is so important. Make sure you walk well with the Lord and that you do what he says so you don't put a bad image on your brothers and sisters. Right? Because if you act up, then all your brothers and sisters will be blamed. Because they'll say, they're all the same. They're all the same. You start arguing, fussing, fighting. You have an upheated argument and the world hears you. Oh, there you got them again, them Christians. They're all the same. Right? Watch your mouth. Watch your standards. Watch your life. Be happy in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment.